You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06, and it's nice to have you back here up north from Wisconsin Rapids on this Wednesday. It's August 20th, 2025, and I'm live here at WFHR Radio, marking 85 years of service to the community through local broadcasting, and they're having a big old parking lot party today from noon to 6. They are right across from the DMV here in Wisconsin Rapids, right at the roundabout. Can't miss it. If you're in the area, stop on by. There'll be food trucks, a little dessert judging contest, photo booth, and so much more. So come on by and say happy anniversary to the folks at WFHR. Todd Alba will be bringing his show up here as well today from 2 until 4. Parker Olson is down in Madison Studio A2 producing things for us today. That includes a visit from Civic Media's Earl Ingram and his What's Going On podcast. We'll talk about that right after Brittany Merlot's weather forecast. And then later this hour, former State Representative Katrina Shanklin will join us, and we'll be talking in part about the congressman for this area, Derek Van Orden, is about to have an event in the Wisconsin Rapids area, and some folks want to hold an event to make sure that he and his VIP guest know that they are not exactly down with the things that Van Orden's been doing and the things that he hasn't been doing, like not standing up to President Trump in seeking budget cuts that are going to hurt so many of Derek Van Orden's constituents. So that's all ahead yet on this Wednesday. But first, we're going to get an update from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who also is planning to come on down to the parking lot party at WFHR at some point today. So you know the weather can't be bad if she's venturing out to be a part of it. It's got to be all right, you know?
You got to avoid, you know, the bad weather.
Well, if
it's questions,
if there's going to be bad weather that she's going to forecast, then you know she's going camping, because right, that's the kind of thing she has to deal with. But for a parking lot party, we get the good stuff today.
We sure do. A nice high pressure system settling into the state today. We're not looking at any problems, especially mid-state where Wisconsin Rapids is. High pressure will dominate the day. Mixed skies, highs in those mid to upper 70s across the state. Now, we do have a few problems. Big waves on Lake Michigan, especially by Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha. We're also looking at spotty sprinkle chances later on today. Now, mostly staying in the Fox Valley, Milwaukee area, but a few of them could make their way to other parts of the state. It'll be very light, very brief, not bothersome at all. We're actually going to see more sunshine, I think, than those spotty sprinkles. So overall, a good day today. We're going to push repeat tomorrow. Just mostly sunny, calm, and comfortable in those mid to upper 70s. We will be flirting with about 80 degrees statewide for Friday before more showers and storms start later on Friday and into early Saturday. That's a cold front moving through. And you've heard about it because it's going to be making it feel like autumn behind it. So some crisp, cooler temperatures where I'm talking about Saturday's highs up north are going to be in the low 60s, down south in the low 70s. And then by Sunday up north, low 50s are possible to low 60s down south. So a very fall feel weekend ahead.
Well, let's connect the dots here. It was just a few minutes ago that Jimmy Cuska was telling us that high school football season begins tomorrow.
Right.
So why wouldn't we, just to welcome in the high school football season, have temperatures that are, you know, making you think more of September and October than the middle of August?
Exactly. Hoodie weather, bust out the flannels, all of that jazz.
For a little bit. And then I still want some summer.
You will still get more. Don't worry.
Okay. Hate to be greedy. No, I don't.
I feel the same way, though.
It's my stock and trade. Brittany, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Let's visit now with Earl Ingram from Civic Media and the What's Going On podcast with Earl Ingram. Earl, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm okay. Obviously, a lot of us are still concerned for you and all of our other Milwaukee friends and neighbors cleaning up from the flood. I see that FEMA should be in tomorrow in the Milwaukee area to do a damage assessment. You, of course, had sewage back up in your basement. How are things going?
Well, I can say to those who are fortunate enough to never have experienced this, that they are very fortunate, because you never feel comfortable. You know, there are people who at times like this will take advantage of people. And so, you know, I'm certainly, like most others, concerned about mold. And so when you call people and ask them what it's going to cost for them to come in and do some mold remediation, the first thing they say is at a minimum $1,700. Haven't even seen your basement or anything, but $1,700 off the top. And so people really are struggling, who really are in no position economically to deal with this. You know, I lost washer, dryer, furnace, water heater, you name it, and many other things. But, you know, I'm a guy with gray hair, white hair, and so I've been around a little while. I can sustain it, but I feel so bad for so many people who can't. And this is what FEMA is supposedly for. And, you know, they've got to come in, and people need help. And that's what our nation has always been about, and it should never change.
It shouldn't. And unfortunately, we have politicized FEMA, some of the folks in government now, and that's, you know, that's in the public sector. And in the private sector, you do have these potentials for scams, or if not scams, then shall we just say exorbitant pricing. And these are affecting people for whom, at last report, 53% of the, what, some 3,000 property assessments, there were categorized as being destroyed or having major damage. I mean, so we're talking thousands of people who are affected by this, and sure could use a government that's looking out for them instead. And if they're not going to get that from the feds, then hopefully at the state and the local levels, we've got public servants who are more mindful of the victims than of, you know, photo ops and profits.
Well, you know, Pat, a state and local really can't financially handle what has happened here. It's the federal government, and you know, the people who are in office now, the first thing they did was cut back the amount of employees at FEMA. Mm-hmm. So when you look at what took place in Texas not so long ago, and now this, you know, they're swamped, they're overwhelmed. And so all of these different things, you got to also factor in hurricane season is on the horizon. And we're faced with some really, really difficult times ahead. And I will say to those who are listening, who have not been impacted and affected by these things, look at your insurance policies, because Pat, that's another thing. We buy our insurance, and we don't really look at it line item by line item, and we think that we're covered because we're paying for this insurance and we have it all these years. And then when you need it, they don't cover any of the things that you lost.
Yeah, we hear about that with, you know, health insurance all the time. You pay your premiums, and then they deny you coverage for this and that. But the same can happen with your property, is that you've been paying your premiums all these years and not completely appreciating, you know, what can be denied even after years of being a premium paying customer. You got to know.
Yeah, it really is. And so I'll say that to people who are in this listening audience who may have not experienced these things. But a word to the wise, take a look at your policy. In my case, the sewer backup is an extra $100 a month. Had I known about that, I clearly would have paid the extra $100 a month for my property to be covered. But I never even thought of, hey, I need to have sewer backup insurance.
Yeah, it's almost like they should give you a price list of here are all the things not in your policy, but at least you know. I mean, right now you didn't even know what you could pay for to have added in there, you know.
Well, that's true.
What a setup that we've got here. Let's turn our attention to the podcast, and of course you can get that over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and look for the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, and we'll talk about, you know, you've got one with Mark Rice talking about prison reform, but you're getting set for a future episode here, getting to talk to a legendary figure from the civil rights movement and public service, and that would be former UN Ambassador Andrew Young.
Well, not only am I going to be interviewing Andrew Young, I'm going to be interviewing three historic Olympians this coming weekend. John Carlos and I forget the other gentleman's name. 1968 Olympics. They actually stood on the podium and gave a Black Power fist. I don't know, Pat, if you remember seeing the photo.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And because to address the civil rights unrest in the nation at that point in time. So they're going to be in town this weekend as well. So I'll be interviewing them as well. So,
yeah, Tommy Smith and John Carlos were the names of the athletes who made that controversial at the time salute.
They're still around. And so we'll be covering that with Civic Media on this Saturday at the Pettit Center. So I'm really excited about having the opportunity to have those conversations.
Okay, so we'll be looking for that. And of course, Andrew Young, you know, served in the Carter administration, served as mayor of Atlanta, but I think most notably, served alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So there's going to be a lot of conversation there for you.
Absolutely. Andrew Young, again, not only did he serve, but he was there when Dr. King was assassinated. He was one of the first guys who came to the support of Dr. King. And so he's now 93 years young. Mm. And the fact that he's still around and we can have that conversation about that time and his time with Dr. King, I relish.
And the most recent issue of the podcast features Mark Rice talking a bit about prison reform and what kinds of things are needed.
Oh, absolutely. You know, those gentlemen who I had on are two former prisoners who have changed their lives and are now advocates for prison reform. And they really cover a lot of information that we don't normally get because we hear about all the negative things. And certainly when people are incarcerated, they've made mistakes. But, you know, there used to be something called, when a person was locked up, they would, I don't know, Pat, why I'm having this brain freeze.
I have those mornings too, trust me. They were given opportunities for rehabilitation and parole and things yes. like that. Yeah, and now it's just, it's lock them up.
Yeah, and and the insanity with that is you're never going to be able to build enough prisons.
No.
To lock people up, you've got to do everything you can to reform them, and there are people who have been reformed who are doing great things.
Yeah, that's all going to be on the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and you'll find it right there. And again, look for his upcoming interviews as well. Plenty of good material there. Earl, thank you so much, and again, we wish you all the best with the cleanup, and we'll check in with you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's pause here. Local update coming up for a lot of you. We'll also be talking to Melissa Baldoff with our climate check and the need for a global treaty to try to reduce the production of plastics, which we're all quite literally choking on around here. And then we'll be talking to former state rep Katrina Shankland when we're all back together here in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow in Wisconsin Rapids today, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It is time for this week's Climate Check. Let's check in with Melissa Baldoff, and we're going to talk first about a global treaty and treaty talks that collapsed global treaty talks. I didn't even know were going on because I didn't realize that what we needed around the planet was a global treaty on plastics production and trying to curtail it. And it's a case of a whole bunch of countries do and just a couple don't. And it's kind of monkeying up the whole works. Melissa, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right today.
Okay. Well, let's talk a bit about this because, again, I was not even aware until recently that there were these treaty talks until they ended up apparently collapsing in Geneva, Switzerland without a deal. But I suppose now that I'm learning about it, it makes sense that all these other countries that are impacted by plastics pollution would love to see, you know, less of it being made as much as possible. But that turns out to be a pretty tough row to hoe.
Yeah, I mean, well, you would hope that everybody would like to see less, you know, production of plastic and the pollution from it, the waste. You know, who hasn't been out at the beach, going fishing, on a hike, and been incredibly disappointed by all of the garbage they're seeing, and you know, knowing that it's harmful to our environment, it's harmful to, you know, the animals, it is harmful just to our way of life, right? Because it's not how we want to be, and it's unhealthy in so many ways. So you know, it's really disappointing to know that this is yet another area where instead of the United States being a leader and joining with you know, our partners around the world, you know, we're going to be on the wrong side of history and the, you know, the wrong side of what's right, you know? So, it's really disappointing. And it's just kind of another way that, that we're being failed, by the lack of leadership in this administration.
Yeah. Environmental groups accused a small number of petroleum producing nations, and of course, petroleum is the building block of plastic, of derailing some ambitious ways to tackle plastics waste. These oil producing countries were looking for things that were a bit more vague, that just were kind of rah-rah about recycling, but didn't really curb the production, which is getting to be a big problem on a very small scale, Melissa. We are only now appreciating this whole notion of microplastics as these things, you know, they don't break down entirely and instead are getting to the size of which they're doing real harm to us.
Exactly. And, you know, when you also think about another way that, you know, this is, you know, harmful and how it shows up in our lives. You know, just I can point to the recent flooding that happened in Southeast Wisconsin. And you think about what the impact is if there's a lot of waste and that plastic pollution, you know, clogging street drains out there, impacting the way that the water is able to run off, you know, if it's in the way. So that's, you know, it's going to show up in our lives on a daily basis if we don't address this. It already does. And, you know, one thing I would add though is, you know, we always like to talk a lot about, you know, what people can do and how to be engaged and how to take action. And, you know, this is an area though with, you know, we need the big global solution like with everything else, but there is also a way that people individually and on that more local level can be part of the solution. And that just means anytime there are cleanup efforts in your community, it's so important to be involved. You know, I know living right by Lake Michigan, you know, we all often have beach cleanups and river cleanups too, being also close to the Milwaukee River. And we have so many wonderful waterways around the state, obviously more lakes than Minnesota. And, you know, it's so important that people are out there in their community helping to address this issue whenever they see it. You know, we still need to, you know, hold our leadership accountable and force them into action and make them do the right thing. But it makes these smaller scale cleanup efforts all the more vital.
Let's pass along a little good news here from the Racine School District, where they voted last month on 4 solar panel projects that could save the district some $12 million over the next 25 years. And I noted, Melissa, there was in the news coverage of it, it said that the projects include $1.1 million in federal incentives. So I called up the Racine School District office and sure enough did get confirmed that those federal incentives are part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And so despite, you know, cuts that will eventually be coming out of Washington, D.C., the Biden administration's moves toward, you know, job creation and saving people and saving school districts money, at least some of that work is still going on, including right here at home.
Yeah, and this is great news. This is something I was so excited to see move forward and really applaud the leadership of the school district. This is a project and a concept that the folks at Forward Together Wisconsin have spoken with the Racine District about quite a bit, and have really been excited to help them find some of these solutions. And, you know, I would just encourage, Brian Style, who I can't imagine as a listener, but maybe somebody who is, will pass this along to him. Think about this, think about this project, think about how much it's going to save the taxpayers that he represents, and to know that the next school in the district that wants to save this kind of money on their project and be able to then pass those savings along long term in the form of energy savings and energy efficiency, and also improved health for the kids and the people who work in the school, those next schools, those next districts, school districts, aren't going to have these incentives.
No, they're not.
The short-sighted vote that Republicans took.
Birthday girl Melissa Baldoff, enjoy those free George Webb burgers. We'll talk to you later.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Katrina Shanklin's coming up next. You're up north. All right, welcome back. We're at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, helping them celebrate 85 years of service to the Wisconsin Rapids community. And you cannot talk about service to the Wisconsin Rapids community without talking about Katrina Shanklin and all of her years as a legislator, former candidate for Congress, and continuing to stay active in the community. And she's joining us here live at the radio station. Katrina, how are you?
Good.
It's so good to see you. Let me get your mic turned up here properly. Sorry about that. Let's start with people want to know, because they so appreciated the work that you did, what you're doing now.
Thanks. Yeah, I am the executive director of an organization called Rust Belt Rising. So we operate in 6 states in the Midwest, the Rust Belt, all the Great Lakes states, including Wisconsin. And our goal is really focused on making sure Democratic candidates and campaign staff, as well as people who support them, are really in tune with working folks and doing everything possible, not only to champion them and represent them, but deliver for them. I've always known that, you know, Democrats are and should be the party of working people, but over the years, and especially right now, you know, folks are talking about the Democratic Party in a different way. And I think having candidates who really embody working class values, who care about the average person, and who are doing things not only to amplify their voices, but delivering for working families and seniors is really important. So
you and I have both run for Congress. We know that there is within the party what some folks like to call the consultant class, trying to get everything all nice and polished. And yet, when I was talking with James earlier here about the shows that they do at WFHR and why things work, it's because they don't go for the polish. They just want to be their authentic selves. And it's something I know I wish, you know, was the better advice given in politics. And so when I hear that you're doing a group like this, I can't help but think it's going to lead to candidates who are allowed to be themselves and be more authentic and show that real connection with voters.
Absolutely. It's all about authenticity and being genuine. And I think, you know, people will bring up examples of politicians like Trump, for example, and they'll say, well, you know, he says it like it is. And a lot of independent voters will be like, well, you know, we may not always get what we want from him, but at least he's a straight shooter. And Democrats, I feel like, often have the pressure to be perfect. I talk to so many people who are candidates or who want to be candidates who are like, I need a degree in this before I can move forward. No. Average voters just want to know that there's someone out there who cares for them, about them, what happens to them, what keeps them up at night, and who actually do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, our fatal flaw, if anything, is that we try to do that while being fact-based, whereas, you know, Trump can I feel like he's talking to me. Yeah, but he's wrong, or he's making stuff up. And for Democrats, and frankly, for, you know, media companies like ours, it's a matter of, again, being authentic, but still being fact-based along the way in the work that you're doing. Now, some of that work that's going on here in this area involves making sure that Congressman Derek Van Orden is aware that a lot of what he's doing is, I mean, I think out of touch is putting it mildly when you see what all was in that bill he supported.
I think not only is it his behavior out of touch and frankly, a lot of times unhinged, but making sure that a district like the third, where, you know, you have highly rural communities, not only don't get a fair shot when it comes to Medicaid access, but also access to hospitals. Rural hospitals particularly is very frustrating seeing his vote. And then, of course, SNAP cuts. You know, access to food is one of the cornerstones of our daily lives, right? And knowing that he's taking food and healthcare away from tens of thousands of his own voters is not only disappointing, but I would think most people would agree, not surprising. That seems like his behavior continues to not surprise the voters of the third. And it's high time to get him out of here. So, you know, there's lots of accountability actions happening.
Yeah. So one of those involves a trip that he's going to be making to this area next week to a golf course, kind of giving the country club treatment to a VIP for a fundraiser. And that would be Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, who has his own personal issues. And I think that's part, Katrina DeShanklin, of what motivated people to want to have events that let both Derek Van Orden and Jim Jordan know that, you know, a lot of folks recognize that they're out of touch and aren't just going to give them a pass as they drive to the country club.
Right. Derek Van Orden refuses to hold a town hall, but he can tweet, you know, 50 times a day, usually insulting his own constituents while taking away their food and health care. So folks in Wisconsin Rapids, there's an amazing group called Rapids Response, have organized a protest. And you can look up Rapids Response and check out the rules of the protest. But it's really about a peaceful action showing that we're not going to stand for it. And I'm really proud of the organizing happening in the Wisconsin Rapids area. It's something to not only aspire to in other parts of the third, but I think, you know, if folks in this area can really put Van Orden on notice, I think 2026 is going to look good for us.
And by the way, when you look at this event and you find the flyer for it on Facebook, there's an entire bottom section of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it fine print or what, that again makes clear that these are peaceful protests and all of the, well, frankly, the do's and don'ts, which you didn't think we'd have to do in this day and age, but given, you know, what the MAGA crowd has done, I think it's a good idea to lay out for folks that, hey, we understand your anger, but here are the rules of the road if you want to participate with our group.
Right. Republicans, you know, the NRCC, the official campaign apparatus of the House, advised their House Republican members to not hold town halls. And people like Derek Van Orden are using the excuse of, well, I don't want to deal with people who might be vitriolic to me. I would encourage people as a former elected official to be polite and firm in their dissension. You know, we all have a right to speak out against our government, and you know, making sure that we are nonviolent and peaceful is one of the most important parts of that, I think.
Yeah, so that'll be part of this particular protest that takes place Thursday, August 28th from 5 until 7:30 p.m. Here in the Wisconsin Rapids area. Again, look for Rapids Response to learn more about it. Though you do understand the sentiment. I mean, just yesterday, Republican New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik was basically booed off stage. I mean, and this was an outdoor thing on like the local courthouse steps, but the crowd just did not want to hear the usual talking points about, you know, a bill when they know what the real stakes are. So you do understand the public anger out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a tangible thing, right? When you take away people's access to their local hospital and their physician that they're used to, whether it's, you know, an oncology patient or a new mom, they're going to be furious. And that's what some of these Medicaid cuts are going to do down the road. In the same way that people are worried about, if you're on, if you are on the marketplace for your health insurance, and you're about to see hundreds of dollars go out of your pocket just to maintain the same plan with no new coverage because Republicans decided to artificially inflate the cost of healthcare, you have a right to be angry. And I think people have seen, you know, the facade, the very thinly veiled facade come down off of the Republicans with this bill. You know, the big, bad, ugly bill is really a giveaway to the wealthiest at the same time that we have a massive amount of wealth inequality in our country and people are working harder than ever. So, you know, I'm really happy to see, I would say, probably a record number of candidates announcing early. You know, we just had a training yesterday with Rust Belt Rising. We have candidates running for Congress in tough seats in Ohio and Indiana, in addition to here in Wisconsin and Michigan and at the local, state, and federal level. And we're really helping folks not only do accountability actions. In fact, Congressman Mark Pocan did one of our first trainings on how to successfully launch town halls to hold Republicans accountable. And as a candidate, you know, get your name and face out there and really listen to folks. But we're also helping people work on their messaging. And I think going back to your point of being authentic and genuine, that's really what we're all about, is showing folks how to connect with voters in a way that builds the coalition.
And by the way, even though there are plenty of people who are early candidates in the race, there is most definitely still time if somebody is interested in maybe running for something to learn more, take part in trainings like this, and still get on next year's ballot.
Absolutely. And the best part about our organization is all of our trainings are free. They're all virtual. And if you can't make them in real time, you can access them later. And so we have a cohort right now called Authentically Messaging Beyond the Base. And it's for more than just candidates and campaign staff. We've got lots of activists, county party chairs, indivisible leaders who are also learning how to reach beyond, you know, the base of Democratic voters to have not only informed and thoughtful conversations with people who might identify as independents or even lean Republicans, they might have voted for Trump one, two, or three times, but they're seeing the BS out there now, right? They're like, hey, my cost of food just keeps going up, and this guy campaigned on lowering the cost of eggs. Something's not adding up. And if we don't meet those voters with an openness and a willingness to really bridge that divide and build that coalition, you know, a lot of times you see people bring out shame. Well, you know, you get what you voted for, that kind of thing. That actually turns them away. And so we're working on, you know, not only messaging the best ways to say things, but also how to engage in those conversations. And so folks are still welcome to join us. You can head to rustbeltrising.com and sign up, and I'm always happy to do individual trainings for groups as well.
Katrina Shanklin, you have been, you know, an important part of the voice that people hear on WFHR over their many years, you know, and we're marking their 85th anniversary here today. So as a former legislator, I mean, you can speak about the importance of local media, of local newsrooms, of local shows that can reach out to local officials. It's tougher than ever for newspapers and media sites to make it these days, but you know how important stations like this one are.
Absolutely. I used to love coming to WFHR and talking to James on Morning Magazine back in the day. And I think part of what's so amazing to me about it is it was an unfiltered conversation. Neither of us had our talking points laid out. We just got to talk like you and I are doing. And folks would listen and think, okay, well, that's, now I know a little more about what's going on in the Capitol, and they can get more engaged. And so I think, you know, local media is incredibly important because they can cut through some of the noise and really help inform the neighbors, our, you know, community members, and provide opportunities for community organizations like the Humane Society or United Way to do the same, not just for politicians, but for all community organizations and community leaders and its citizens. So I think that, you know, local media is of the utmost importance. I can't stress that enough. I've seen it change over the years, and I think it's good to adapt. But if we're not investing in it, if we're not supporting our local radio or local newspapers, we're going to lose a lot of what it means to be a community member.
without a doubt. Katrina Shanklin, with the minute or so we have left, I mean, we've got this wide open race for governor and probably other races as well. You're working with candidates right now. Any thought of being a candidate yourself next year for something?
I don't have any thoughts about being a candidate right now, and I'm excited to be leading an organization that's all about supporting others and helping them be their best face forward. And so I'm looking forward to, I think, hopefully a historic midterm where Democrats really take what needs to be taken, and that's our power back for the citizens, for our community members, for our democracy. So lots of work to do ahead.
And that's exactly the best that you can get. If Katrina Shanklin's not going to be on the ballot, then at least helping train people who will be on the ballot or thinking about being on the ballot. And again, for that, you can head over to rustbeltrising.com, rustbeltrising.com, to learn more about that. Former state legislator Katrina Shanklin, congressional candidate, and now working with Rust Belt Rising. Thank you so much for this, for coming in, for talking about WFHR's anniversary. And it was really great to connect with you again.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. We'll take a pause here. And for some of you, there will be a local break next. If that's the case, we'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning from Lake Wissota once again. And otherwise, we've got a few more final notes here from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, marking its 85th anniversary of local service to the community. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, Brewers baseball coming up tonight against the Chicago Cubs. Oh, sorry about that. Folks watching on social media going, what did he do to his computer? He tried to drop it, that's all. It'll be the Brewers versus the Cubs from Wrigley tonight. 6:30, the pregame begins on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Brewers lost both games of a doubleheader yesterday, but still, as Jimmy Cosco reminded us an hour ago, if they win tonight and tomorrow, they will then take the season series, and that will give them the tiebreaker that they need for any particular, you know, playoff run that is being done. So again, 6:30 tonight across the Civic Media Radio Network. Parker, I'm going to do an unsolicited commercial here, only to make a point about where I stayed here in Rapids. And again, lot wonderful people here, and even the place where I stayed last night, friendly people. But there's a reason why the unsolicited commercials that my wife and I belong to, IHG, which is the chain that runs Holiday Inn, Holiday Inn Express, you know, but like eight other different hotels that are out there, because there's places all over we travel. Well, there aren't any IHG hotels right here in Wisconsin Rapids proper, so I stayed someplace else. And when I ran for Congress, and you go all over northern Wisconsin, I stayed in all kinds of hotels and motels because it's a big district. So you got to do your overnights in some places. If your motel room or your hotel room badly needs a dehumidifier because your carpeting is moist, that's a clue that maybe you need an upgrade.
Oh God.
I just thought when I was in there, I was like, oh, this is why I belong to IHG. Okay. Well, that's fine. And again, the people were great. And behind the desk, it was funny when I checked in yesterday afternoon, these two women were there laughing, and I saw what it was, the world's smallest pallet. Now, when you think of a pallet, you think of, you know, a pallet is what, 5 feet like by 5 feet, basically?
Yeah.
Well, they laughed because, again, some delivery driver called and said, hey, I've got your such and such, but I'm bringing it in a pallet. Have you got room? Can I come through the front door? And so they were getting all nervous that they weren't expecting a pallet of whatever supply this was.
Sure.
When I walked in, I almost tripped over it. It was 18 inches by 18. It was like the babiest baby pallet, a baby
like a
pallet.
Paver.
Yes. But it had like, you know, five or six boxes of something on top of it, but it was like it had been, you know, put in a shrinking machine. And they were still laughing at this driver was warning them that he's bringing a pallet of stuff in. And instead it was like, here's a little pallet for you. Anyway,
it's the size of a box, dude.
Yes. Yeah, it really was. You could have carried it in. You didn't need like the dolly cart or anything for it. But anyway, Adventures in Wisconsin Rapids. We're here at WFHR. And again, the parking lot party is this afternoon from noon until six. Although folks are already starting to gather around here, kind of get ready with the setup. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be a dessert contest. There's going to be a photo booth for the kids. I don't know, for folks that might have missed James talking about this earlier. Our friend Melissa Kay has got one of the rooms set up where kids can come in and pretend to be radio broadcasters. And there, I saw all these wristbands. And I said, well, what are those? And she's like, they're USB drives. You pull the wristband apart, and there's a little tiny USB drive. She's like, so they're going to record themselves, and then we're going to put it on the USB so they'll always have it.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. I thought that was great. I'm like, because, again, back in my day, I don't know what you did, but we had Panasonic tape recorders, and you'd put a cartridge in, and you'd hit play and record, and you'd just pretend to be on the radio for a while. We'd pretend to be Casey Kasem doing American Top 40 or something like that. And these kids get the little USB drives. It's all digital these days. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun for them.
Oh, that's so cool. I would have loved doing that.
Yeah. So again, noon until six here at WFHR, right across from the DMV building in Wisconsin Rapids, right on the roundabout. Can't miss it. Come on out and be a part of it. Here's your pop quiz from the beginning of the show. Do you remember what WFHR stands for?
William.
Yes.
F.
Yes.
Huffman.
Huffman, very good. Holy cow. Give yourself some applause on that one. Okay, nope, never mind. Sometimes the applause crowd shows up, sometimes they're
I'm sorry. Anyway. I had that down because I was working on something else.
That's okay. You can cheer for yourself. Yes, William F. Huffman, who was the founder and owner. At the time, he was the publisher of the Wisconsin Rapids Tribune. And so there was a lot of music, but also it all started with election results because they started in November. They're marking it today, but the actual anniversary was in November. Sure. When they kicked off for election night, November of 1940.
Good time to start.
So they were advertising that this is the place to turn to for election results. And then there was there's so much history, and Melissa Kay has actually written the history up. So if you go to civicmedia.us, and you go to stations, and you go to WFHR, and you go through the news there, it's probably on the front page as well, is a whole article that Melissa Kay wrote about WFHR history, which I think you'd really enjoy. There was there are people who have worked here that went on to like bigger and better things. There was Julie Bueller, who went on to be a producer at Channel 13 in Eau Claire, where I worked, and then a news director in Green Bay for many, many years. But way back in 1981, she wrote a research paper about the history of radio in Wisconsin Rapids, which cool. I thought was just a very fun thing. Yeah. And then, of course, all about the various shows, the ownership changes, the building changes, just so many great things to experience here. All the old radios that they have lying around, on display. Yeah. Super cool. Todd Alba is going to talk much more about this coming up on his show from 2 to 4 after he does his setup here. I will be back on Lake Wissota tomorrow. But this has been a lot of fun, Parker. We got to get you on the road for some of these things.
I would love to get on the road for something like this. This has been a blast.
I know. So we need more of our stations got to turn 85 years old, or just come up with a reason for a party. You know, we'll do it that way, however it works out. And thanks to all of you as well for joining us live from Wisconsin Rapids. And again, if you're in the area, come join the parking lot party from noon until 6. I'm Pat Kreitler from Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Enjoy your Wednesday. See you back here bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.